Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we come before thy throne. We give praise and glory and honor unto thee. And we ask, Father, as we plan these various things for the gospel meeting, that we might do those things that will encourage and edify and lift us up and truly make it a successful meeting. We'll be able to reach out to souls that are lost. Help us in our efforts to teach thy word, that we might find those honest and sincere hearts that will receive thy message and be obedient to us. Be obedient to it. We ask now, Father, that you will forgive us of our sins. Above all, at this time, Father, we ask that you be with us as we study of thy word together. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. One other thing, June Hyder will be having some tests on Tuesday morning. Is that a Baptist, June? Baptist Hospital, right? What do you think of whenever someone mentions the word Jesus Christ? What do you think about him as you hear those words? Do you think, for example, that he is your Savior? Maybe think about that he is Lord or Master of your life. Do you think about Golgotha or the Garden of Gethsemane? Some people, I'm sure, would probably think about the fact that he's a lawgiver. Others might think about the fact, well, he's one who prevents people from doing some of the things they'd like to do. Maybe they feel restrictions as they think about him. Maybe some would think he was the Son of God. Maybe would bring to mind to some people worship or service to him. But there's one concept about Jesus Christ that seems to me is not thought of often enough that I'd like to talk about for a while this morning. And yet this concept of Jesus Christ is very vital to our having a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to understand this particular aspect of Jesus Christ. And it is necessary that we understand this in order that we might practice Christianity, it seems to me, as the Lord would have us to practice it. And I'm talking about the fact that Jesus Christ was man. We need to think about him in terms of being a man. The Bible asserts that Jesus was man. I think sometimes we think about him being the Son of God and only think of him in terms of the supernatural. But Jesus Christ was man just like you and I. He was recognized to be man by those that were distantly associated with him. People that would just see him on the street, didn't know anything more about him as they looked upon him, would think he was a man just like that they were. For example, he was met by the woman at the well in Samaria, recorded in John chapter 4. And when she went back into the city after talking to Jesus, she said to the people, "Come see a man that told me all things I've ever done." She described him simply as a man. And whenever John the Baptist talked about him, he said, "After me comes a man whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch or untie." He thought of him as a man. And people that saw him thus pictured him that way. But also he was thought of as a man by those that were closely associated with him. We find the Apostle Paul, for example, writing in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This man, Christ Jesus, is our mediator. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22, when the Apostle Paul Apostle Peter begins his speech on the day of Pentecost, he speaks of Jesus Christ A man approved of God by the miracles and signs and wonders which you beheld or he worked among us. So the apostles thought of Jesus Christ as being a man. Our emphasis upon the deity of Jesus, I'm afraid, has caused many of us to lose sight of his humanity. That he was a man. In fact, there are some people who think of him in terms of the divine so much that they've completely lost sight of the fact that he was a man. He was not so divine as to seem inhuman by them that knew him. He was not a being from some halfway world. When people saw him in the flesh, they saw a man. He was God in the flesh, appeared as a man. Do we believe in Jesus the man? There are many false concepts about Jesus. Too many times we picture him according to the picture that has been painted by the culture about us, by the ideas and the thinking of people about us. For example, a man of South America made the statement when he was asked who Jesus Christ was. He said, "He is a dead man hanging on a stick." Well, he had seen Jesus Christ many times on a cross or a crucifix or on maybe some crude type of a stick that people in less civilized countries use as a sign of the cross. The picture painted by many cultures is not an appealing picture of Jesus. And so many times people are not sure if they want to think of Jesus as a man because the manly side of Jesus is not that appealing picture. Many times the pictures that we see of Jesus that have been painted coming back from the 14th or 15th century picture Jesus as being a weak type of an individual, skinny individual with long, flowing, curly hair, and not necessarily the type of person that many of us would want to associate with. I remember when I was growing up, I don't know where all of our young men are this morning, but I don't know whether our young men still are bombarded with these advertisements that I saw when I was growing up advertising these Charles Atlas bodybuilding courses and so forth, and they'd have these adverts of some scrawny, skinny, weak type of a man on the beach with his girlfriend, and this big old muscular man comes along and kicks a sand in his girlfriend's face, and he just sort of cowers away rather than standing up to this man. They were advertising these bodybuilding courses and trying to get you to enroll and so forth. And many times I think people picture Jesus as being that type of an individual, a scrawny, weak person that lacked courage, that lacked strength, who was weak in body. But I'd like to invite you to let's think about him for a little bit and the picture that's given of Jesus in the Gospels. First, in reference to his physical appearance. He worked as a carpenter, right? Now, even today, working as a carpenter is not an easy trade. And it requires a rugged, strong type of an individual. But think about it then. The work of a carpenter then began by going out first and cutting down the trees. You didn't go down to the lumber yard or someplace and buy your lumber already ready made, so to speak. But you had to start by cutting down the tree and splitting that tree and sawing it up and making many times by just your own muscles and the crude tools that they had at that time to shape the wood as you wanted it shaped. It wasn't an easy task. And that in itself would be a muscle-building course to work at that type of a trade in those days. And so as I think about Jesus, I don't picture him as a pale Italian, as he's pictured in many of those and pictures that people have drawn. But yes, he would have been dark skinned. Now, the Jews naturally is a darker skinned people. But then in addition to that, you think about the life that he led. He, in one occasion, in Matthew 8, verse number 20, said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Indicating that, maybe as some people are doing this weekend, he did a lot of camping out. Outdoor life was the more of the norm of those days, and his muscular body would have been tanned and browned by the sun, not only the work that he did, but in traveling about, they didn't ride about in an air-conditioned automobile that protected them from the sun. They walked wherever they went. And that in itself would cause a person to be in good physical condition. And the land of Palestine was not flat. It's a hilly type of land that would require some effort. So I don't see Jesus as being a person of weak body, but a person who was rather well built, that was a strong individual with rough hands and a rough exterior, a man's man. And you know, whenever he walked by and he saw the fishermen, and he said to them, "Come, follow me," they forsook all and followed him. He naturally commanded the respect of people. They didn't laugh at him and refuse to follow him. He was a person who physically commanded respect of other people. On several occasions when he pointed out the hypocrisy of his own people, like in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 30, for example, the people wanted to put him to death. But he escaped them. He hides himself and escapes. He was physically capable of doing that. Several occasions they took, on Luke 4 and verse number 30, he speaks about him taking him to the brow of the city on which it was built, like a cliff, and they were going to cast him down over the cliff, but he escaped them. He was a person who could do that type of thing. And then I see Jesus going into the temple and cleansing the temple. And that wasn't done by some weak individual. But John tells us there in John chapter 2, verses 13 and 16, about one of these times when he made a whip. And he went into the temple and he drove the people out. And he told them to take those doves and those tables and to get out. And they did it. People listened to him. He commanded respect. He was a man's man. He was tremendously courageous also. There's two kinds of courage. There's a type of courage whenever maybe someone sees somebody in trouble, automobile accident, or maybe someone about to drown. And the person without thought just jumps in the water or runs over there and lifts the automobile off of the people or rescues them out of the automobile. They didn't have time to think about it at all, but they showed courage. Then there's another type of courage, whenever a man knows what lies ahead, knows of difficulties and suffering and hardship that's going to be his if he chooses this particular road, makes this decision. To me, that's a much greater courage. And that's the type of courage that Jesus Christ had. Luke chapter 9, verse number 51, speaks about the fact that when his time was come, he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew what he was waiting for him. And in courage and intestinal fortitude, he went forth to die upon that cross. Jesus Christ was not one that we would be ashamed to be around. He was that type of an individual. He was the type of an individual that you might take with him where you work. Take with you where you work or where you go to school. You wouldn't be ashamed to be seen with him in any place. If he was a scrawny, looking weak in the type of individual, and you were to take that type of person with you to work, You know, and I'm not sure that you'd want to introduce him as the leader of your faith. But that's not the way Jesus appeared to men. And he would be someone that you could take with you. People would not look upon him as a weirdo or a freak of any kind like that. His nature was the same as ours. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same nature, that he in all things might be made like unto his brethren." He was made like unto us in all things. Hebrews 2:17, "Therefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." He had to be man as we are men in order to go to the cross and die for us. One of us, a man, had to pay the penalty for our sins. And he had to be made like us. We can identify with Jesus the man. He was not, as I said before, someone from a halfway world. You know, he wasn't just 50% man or 50% something else. He was man. And we can identify with him because he felt the same things that we feel. John chapter 4, we read about him at the well at Samaria and how they had been journeying. Jesus became tired and he sat down at the well to rest, just as our bodies become tired. He was thirsty. He asked the woman for a drink of water. He was hungry. The disciples had gone into the city to get something to eat. His body needed nourishment just like ours. He had to drink. He became sleepy on one occasion, recorded in Matthew chapter 8, about verse number 24. We find the disciples out on the lake. You remember that storm came. And where was Jesus? Down inside the ship asleep. He had to sleep. His body needed that recovery time just like ours. He felt pain when he was tormented before he was crucified, and when he was crucified and they put that crown of thorns upon him and drove the nails in his hands and thrust that spear into his side. You know, he felt those things. He could feel pain just like you and I. Like you and I, believe, since he was partaker of our nature in all points and all ways, he could feel butterflies in his stomach too. That his muscles tied into knots. He had headaches. He was just like us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 says, "For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points," notice it, "but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Now, he was made like us in all ways. Tempted in all ways like we are. Some people think, well, you know, God can't be tempted and he was God, but he was man. We don't want to forget that. He was man. He was God in the flesh, and in the flesh as a man, this verse says, and he could be tempted in all points, just as we are. We read about the temptations whenever he was tempted by Satan after he had fasted for the 40 days and 40 nights, recorded there in Matthew chapter 4. And how that he was hungry, and Satan said, "Well, you can make bread out of these stones and feed yourself." Now, what is temptation? Isn't temptation an enticement or an inducement to do evil? Where that one has an alternative, he has to make a choice. He can do this which is evil and maybe satisfy his physical needs. Or he can choose not to do the evil. One has an alternative. Now, if Jesus Christ didn't have an alternative, then he's not like me and everything. There's some people believe that he couldn't be tempted. But this says he was tempted in all points. And it wasn't just a game that he was playing. You know, if he really wasn't tempted, if his flesh didn't long for food when he was hungry, And whenever he went to that cross, if that prayer he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that not that he not go to that cross, if there's some other way. And when he wrestled in prayer with God there, nevertheless said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Was that just a game that he was playing? No. He had to be tempted in all the ways like we are in reality. For he wasn't man. He hadn't faced the same things that you and I face. But he was. And we can identify with him. He was tempted not just that time when Satan came to him. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 also. Luke chapter 4 verse 13 speaks about the fact that after his temptations were completed, Satan departed from him for a season. Or I think the New King James says, until an opportune time. Satan tempted him all his life through. It wasn't just that one time. Do we really believe Jesus was tempted? I'm afraid some people might want to wash my mouth out with soap, and lye soap to boot, you know, because they speak about Jesus being tempted. But he was. I'm afraid sometimes we think it was not really possible for Jesus to give in to evil. It was not really possible for him to give in to wrong. If that's the case, then he was just playing. He was acting. And there was no real temptation. But some people say, but he had divine assistance. Well, he didn't have any other divine assistance than what is available to all the sons of God. Want to remember he was tempted in all points like as we are. Now if he had some help to assist him in overcoming it that we don't have, then it wasn't in all points like we are. It wasn't the same. You know, temptation is strong in proportion to one's ability to gain the desired object. One is tempted in proportion to his strength. Now, for example, Jesus was tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread. You ever been tempted to do that? I've never thought about making bread out of stones. Have you, Gary? That's not a temptation to me. Not a temptation to us because we can't do it. We know we can't. Jesus was tempted on the level pertaining to his strength. So each one of us is tempted. God's not going to allow us to be tempted above that which we can bear. But Jesus resisted temptation. Jesus knew the pain of resisting temptation. You ever been tempted with something and you want that thing so bad, or you want to do this so bad, but you know that you shouldn't. You know that God would have you to do this. And there's pain involved with making the right choice. Maybe of having the courage. Maybe it's some work that you need to do for the Lord. Maybe it's some Christian that you need to go and talk to. Maybe it's some person who's been a visitor to services and you need to go visit those people, encourage them. And it takes courage to do that, and the flesh is weak. And you'd rather spend your time doing something else. Rather not have to face that person or that individual. Jesus knows the pain of resisting temptation. He's been there. And he overcame through the same channels that you and I have opened to us. Richard read a text for us from Luke chapter 22 this morning. Verse number 41 through 44 there, that speaks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and how that he there prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." I believe Jesus was struggling with his fleshly nature there. You know, this flesh doesn't want to die. But he knew it was God the Father's will to go to that cross. Notice how verse number 44 speaks of him as he prayed there and being in agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground as Jesus struggled, tried to bring the flesh and the man of Jesus into control to go and to do the Father's will. It wasn't hard, it wasn't easy for him to go to that cross. But he did it. He resisted the temptation to find another way, and he prayed that prayer 3 times, didn't he? Father, not my will, but thine be done. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let me avoid this death upon the cross. But not my will, thine be done. Jesus struggled as he overcome that temptation then. When we are tempted, we need to remember that Jesus was also tempted. And that he overcame just like you and I can overcome. We need to think about that whenever we're tempted to do something or to not do something. We need to remember he overcame and we can too. The humanity of Jesus shows that God knows the struggles of a righteous man. Shows that we can overcome. God became subject to all things of our existence. He became a man to endure all things that we do. To suffer and to die for us. And he did it as a man who went to that cross. The man, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty for my sins and for yours. It was a man who died upon that cross and who suffered, gave his life for us that we might be saved. We can identify with that person. And we know that he can sympathize with our weaknesses and that he's understanding. Because he died for us upon that cross. He knows what we go through. He overcame it. And he says we can too through him and through the strength that God will give to each and every one of us. This morning, if you are not a Christian, remember that Jesus Christ died for you upon the cross. He died that you might be forgiven. Will you not respond to the invitation that we extend at this time? His death need not be in vain. But if he died and you do not respond to that invitation and you do not give your life for him, then for you, he died for nothing, didn't he? Because his death will not help you if you will not surrender your life to him. Listen to the invitation he extends. Remember that he died for you. Will you not respond to him? While we stand there, while we sit here.